Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you that's tuned in by internet, you can call 347-237-4054. That's 347 237-4054, you would be connected to our lives. We are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating, being a part of this blog ministry. Amen?
Amen.
And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to share what Christ has done in your life with others. Amen? And we don't know who we are communicating with. All we know is that we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
And that is a blessing. Amen? We're going to start off. We're New Beginnings Ministry, and we're going to have prayer. And after we have prayer, then we're going to go into our title scripture, and we're going to move forward as the Lord says so. Amen. So as we go into prayer, we would like to lift up some members in prayer, and that's Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee. We'd like to lift up Minister Bill Robinson, two Robinsons, amen? And no, they're not related. Brother Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, we'd like to lift up Stuart Hawthorne from out of Cleveland, Ohio, and also we'd like to lift up Tanek Dickerson from Alabama. Amen?
We also want to pray for Sister Owen, who is recovering. She was had an episode and needed to be on life support and so forth, but she's coming through. We lift up Patsy Coggins and Les Matlock and also Gwendolyn Stevenson. We also lift up Margie Moore. And I know there's so many others, such as Lisa Snyder and Maddie Hutchinson.
Amen, amen, amen. If you'd like to lead us in prayer, that would be wonderful.
Sure. Father God, we praise your name. We thank you, dear Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that this time has been set aside to sense your word, Father God, to have a discussion, to learn, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to just remove all distractions and hindrances, dear Lord, that will keep us from gleaning and understanding your word this evening. We ask you, Lord, to bless our teacher, our preacher, Father God, that he speaks from your heart, Father God, not his agenda, but your agenda, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that all those who are listening, Father God, that you will bless them and bless their households. We thank you, Lord, that those who usually listen and want to listen, Father God, and those who are listening by internet or live on the phone, or those, Father God, that will listen through the archives, Father God, that they too would be blessed, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this avenue of serving you, Father God, and the avenue, Father God, of preaching your word. And we thank you, Father God, that you would raise us up, Father God, teach us, Father God, help us to grow up, to grow stronger, Father God, to know where and what you have us to do with this ministry. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. As we move on, the title of tonight's discussion is Courage and Confidence, Courage and Confidence in Our Daily Struggles, Courage and Confidence in Our Daily Struggles. And the scripture that we're coming from is 1 John through 19, 1 John 4, 7 through 19. Amen. And the scripture reads as such. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in many ways. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also are to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that God has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. Let me say that again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first, amen, and that is the reading of the Word of God from 1 John 4, 7 through 19. As we move forward, the theme of this topic is God's love for us and all creation is revealed among his atoning sacrifices, death on the cross. His atoning sacrifice and death on the cross. So I want you to hold on to that. And there are four things that I would like to lift up this evening. And one, God lives in us. And because he lives in us, we are perfected. We are perfected in God's love. Abide in him and he in us. When we abide in him and he in us, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And four, we love because he first loved us. So as we move forward, this amazing divine love is the source of power for our love for one another. It gives us courage and confidence, and that's where the topic came from in terms of courage and confidence, because we have love in us, and that love of Christ is perfected in us, then we should not fear, but have courage. Amen? And we're going to get deeper into that as we move even further. And as we move in, the writer says that 1 John stands in the tradition of the writer of the Gospel of John, beginning with reference of John's unique view of Jesus as the incarnation of the pre-existing Word. Amen?
Amen.
John focuses on centrality. And what I mean by centrality is he focuses on the center of love. And by doing that, we are marking our lives in Christ. By focusing on the center of love, which is in us, then we are marking life in Christ. And I'd like to take a moment just to focus on that. Because when we focus on Christ, and Christ is love, when we focus on the center of that, what that is saying is we are making a mark in our lives as Christ living in us. Because if we're focusing on the center of Christ, then if we're in the center, then we are surrounded by the Word of God. That means Christ is all around us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. If we are in the center, that means Christ is surrounding you and I.
Amen.
So as we move on, this is what it's really saying is 1 John is focusing on the old commandment. And you know what the old commandment says? It says that we should love one another. Amen? We should love one another. And let me just say this, that the old commandment is one and the same, and it's not new. Amen? Because it focuses on loving one another, and today it's the same principle, loving one another. If we look at 1 John 2:7-11, it says that we should love one another.
Okay, wait a minute. 1 John 2:7-11.
You want to read it?
Sure. Okay, I'll read it in a Living Bible version. Dear brothers, I am 1 John 2:7-11. Dear brothers, I am not writing out a new rule for you to obey, but it is an old one you have always had right from the start. You have heard it all before, yet it is always new and works for you just as it did for Christ. And as we obey his commandment to love one another, the darkness in our lives disappears, and the whole light of life in Christ shines. Anyone who says he is walking in the light of Christ but dislikes his fellow man is still in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever loves his fellow man is walking in the light and can see his way without stumbling around in darkness and sin. For he who dislikes his brother is wandering in spiritual darkness and doesn't know where he is going. For the darkness has made him blind so that he cannot see the way.
Amen. Amen. Now, the central location of 1 John is suggested that it's in a later period of life. And this is a time when there are emerging Christian communities. This is a time when there is an emerging Christian community. And in this community, it was not Jews or Romans who were disputing the community, but rather internal descendants. Internal, now I want you to get this, internal descendants. Now, the author repeatedly refers to, when you start talking about internal descendants, the author starts talking about, he's referring to Antichrist or false prophets. The Antichrist or false, and the false prophets, what they're doing, they're considered the descendants during that time, or the false prophets. What are they doing? They are spreading false messages during this time. And this is what 1 John is referring to, because there is a disconnect in the communities. And so when he writes about that, again, he's talking about the disrupting community. He's talking about the descendants that are in that are part of that community, which those who are not of God, those who are not of God during this time, they are considered descendants. And if you're a false prophet, that refers to an antichrist, spreading false messages. Now, when we go through these descendants during this time, it's not unclear who they are, but many scholars would probably connect them to the early Gnostic preachers. These are the early Gnostic preachers who insisted that the physical world is by nature corrupt, and that the Son of God neither became truly human nor died on a human death. Amen? Those are the Gnostic preachers. Those are the ones who were preaching or who are talking false prophecies, because they did not believe in that. These were considered Gnostics during that time. So as we move further, it is so that the author also stresses the reality that there is a physical incarnation. And if you want to look that up, you look at 1 John 4:2.
Just verse 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Where there are many false teachers around, and the way to find out is their messages from the Holy Spirit is to ask, does it really agree that Jesus Christ, God's Son, actually became man with a human body? If so, then the message is from God.
Amen. And he's referring to false prophecies, false preachers during that time. Now, and as we move on in verse 2, and Jesus is talking about the death as affecting the forgiveness of sin. And when you look at that, you know, during that time, that was considered, they were considered false readers. Amen? Amen. So we move further. The threat of schism in the community would have been particularly painful if the community had shaped Jesus' vision around the unity of community, which is described in John. So when we look at when we talk about schism, we're talking about a division. This is the division that was happening during this time. Schism is considered anyone who is strongly opposing party. It's another one. It's a group who is strongly opposing. They're opposing whatever views that you have. So it's a strong party, and they are opposing to what you are saying or what you believe. So during this time, this is what the schisms were. That's where that division came about. And what John is referring to, he is calling for us to love one another. During this time, he's saying that we should love one another. And why is he saying that we should love one another? Because God first loved us. And how did he first love us? He loved us by sending God's Son, sending his Son as a sacrifice for sin. So if we look at that is what's happening during this time. He sent his Son as a sacrifice for sin. And that is the context of the community. And during this community, that is where it began. It was fractured. It was fractured because of what was said and because God first loved us and in sending his Son as a sacrifice for sin. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to get even further when we talk about the sacrifice of sin. Because when you look at the historical theology of 1 John or during that time, this sin, if there was a sin, their belief was that they would make a sacrifice. It would be a sacrifice of an animal. And during the sacrifice of that animal, the purpose of the sacrifice was, again, we're talking about it in terms of cleansing us of our sins. So for you to say or for you to teach that God sent his Son as a sacrifice of sin, there was a division. There was a division. That's where the community was on the verge of fracture. Amen? So when we move even further, as we move further, let's go back and inspect what these scriptures are saying as we break them down even more. So when we go back to 4, verse 4, 1 John 4:7-8, it says, 1 John 4:7-8 says what?
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Dear young friend, you belong to God and have already won your fight with those who are against Christ, because there is someone in your heart who is stronger than any evil teacher in this wicked world. These men belong to this world, so quite naturally, they are concerned about worldly affairs, and the world pays attention to them. But we are children of God. That is why only those who have walked and talked with God will listen to us. Others won't. That is another way to know whether a message is really from God. For if it is, the world won't listen to it. Dear friends, let us practice loving each other. For love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are the children of God and that they are getting to know him better. But if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into this wicked world to bring to us eternal life through his death. In this act, we see what real love is. It is not our love for God, but his love for us when he sent his Son to satisfy God's anger against our sin.
So there's a call to love one another. The opposition is accused of not confessing Jesus, that is, of dying, that he came in a fleshly form of a human. And it's in 4:2, the tension between you and they in these verses is the love must begin with a clear repudiation of those who undermine such love. Those who undermine such love. Those who are opposing to such love. Those who are considered Gnostic to what's being said of such love. So because of the numbers of the community, because of the numbers, we can look at it as a community. So he's talking to not one or two people. He's talking to a community. Amen? And in verse 4:4, it says, and love is from God. 1 John is saying, and love is from God. And in verse 7, it says, love is thus the hallmark of the community. Now, when we look at that word hallmark, and I want to pause there, the hallmark. When we look at a hallmark, when you think of a hallmark, it's a stamp. A hallmark is a stamp. A hallmark is something that is distinct. Classification. Amen? In classification, is distinct in character. That is considered a hallmark. So now let's go back. Love is thus the hallmark, or let me see. Love is there, thus the distinct classification or the distinct stamp of the community. Now, I'm just adding words in there for hallmark. Love is thus the hallmark of the community. That's the stamp. So the stamp, what is he saying here? He's saying that the hallmark of this community is stamped. That is the hallmark. Amen?
Amen.
Indeed, when we look at it, it says, indeed, love is the very essence of the divine. Love is the very essence of divine. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God first loved us. And it's saying here in 1 John, it's saying that love is the hallmark. Love is the stamp. Love is the distinct character of this community during this time. And I'm going to even say, during that time that we're talking about in 1 John. I would even go as far as to say during this time also, for the past, the present, and the future. Amen? So when we're looking at this, we look at that, it says love is the hallmark. Love is the stamp of community. Love is the stamp of our community. Love is the stamp for you. Love is the stamp for me. That's that distinct character that we have in each and every one of us. And that is the stamp of love. Amen?
Amen.
Indeed, love is the very essence of God. Love is the very essence of the divine. So seldom in the biblical tradition is there any attempt to reduce the divine nature of character to one particular attribute. Amen? The reduction of God to love is almost saying that it's startling. It's startling. It's startling when someone tries to reduce the divine, when someone tries to reduce God for who he is, when someone tries to reduce that we are the hallmark of God. We are the hallmark we are the hallmark of love. And if love is in you and I, then that is our stamp. That is our Christian stamp of who we are. That is our Christian. When he's talking about that all through 1 John 4:7-9, it's all about the hallmark or the stamp of Christ in you and in me. Amen? So when someone starts talking about God, when God says something and someone is opposing, and you know when we talk about those who are opposing are considered Gnostics. Those are, and they're talking about the schism, you know, the division. They're trying to divide who we are in Christ. Amen? And as we move in, when I say the sublime, I'm talking about, you can look it up, it means excellence. Sublime God, excellent God. Sublime, excellent. So as we move on even further, we go into 1 John 4:9-12. Now here, there's a critical issue that is not how that we love God, but rather how it is that God first loved us. How was it? By sending his Son. God first loved us. And how is it that God first loved us? It's because he sent his Son as a sacrifice for sin. That is the love that God first loved us. He saw the sin of humanity. And he knew that rather than destroy it, that he would save it. And so therefore he sent his only begotten Son for the sins of humanity. Hallelujah. I thank God because he sent his Son for me. And by sending his Son for me, gave me the right to life. So moving on, he sent his Son into the world that we might have life through the atoning power of his sacrifice. That we might have life. Not death, but we might have life through his sacrifice. So when we are going through, and whatever we are going through, in this time, or the time that's later on, God wants us to live. God wants you and I to have life. That is the whole purpose of the Son coming for our sins, so that we might have life. I mean, we could even go deeper. We're talking about in terms of there was a judgment during that time. That was the whole purpose of sending his son, because of the judgment on humanity and sin. So therefore, Christ sent his son for you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, that's worth jumping for joy. That's worth jumping for joy, just knowing that we have life. Why are we jumping for joy? Because had not he sent his son as a sacrifice for our sin, we wouldn't be here talking about this today. Amen? So we're talking about Jesus sending his son. He first loved us, so he sent his son for you and for I. That was an atoning sacrifice for you and I. That, let that be understood. That is the atoning sacrifice for humanity, and that was Jesus Christ. And if you look at it in verse 10, that's what it says. But the development is hidden at in John 1:29. If you look at John 1:29, and even in Romans 3:25, if you investigate that, you look more. It further explores what the book of Hebrews is talking about, the book of Hebrews during that time. And when we start looking at the book of Hebrews during that time, in terms of the Israelite tradition, there were sins that were capable of being resolved by the offender making an atonement sacrifice. Let me say that again. According to the Israelite tradition, some sins were capable of being resolved by the offender making an atonement sacrifice with the blood of the sacrificial animal being applied to the sacred precinct in the temple, to the temple, in order to purge the sanctuary of the contaminating pollution resulting from the offender's action. And that's what we talked about at that time, during the Israelite tradition, that's what was done. The sacrifice that was made, it was an animal that was sacrificed in the precinct of the temple, and by making that sacrifice, it was to purge the sanctuary of any contaminating pollution resulting from the offender's action. So that tells me that sacrifice of that animal at that time was any. You, when you walk in to that temple or that precinct of the temple, then you are bringing the sin into the temple. And as you're bringing the sin into the temple, you're walking out in with that sin. So therefore, in order to cleanse that precinct or that temple, there had to be a sacrifice. And once that sacrifice was made, according to the Israelite tradition, that was to cleanse or purify anything that was in the sanctuary. Because when we walk in with our sin, or we walk into that precinct of that temple, what we're doing is we're contaminating it. We're polluting it. And that pollution and that contamination had to do with our actions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop right there. I feel like I'm doing too much talking. Is there any comments on that so far? Any comments? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we move on into First John 4:13-16, it talks about Jesus as Savior of the world.
What can you read?
First John 4:13-16.
And he has put his own Holy Spirit into our hearts as a proof to us that we are really with him and he with us. And furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now tell all the world that God sent his son to be their Savior. Anyone who believes and says that Jesus is the Son of God has God living in him. and he is living with God. We know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love, and anyone who lives in love is living with God, and God is living with him. And as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete, so we will not be ashamed and embarrassed at the day of judgment, but can face him with confidence and joy, because he loves us, and we love him too.
Amen.
Can I keep going? I have marked here the next few verses as perfect love. We need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us.
Mm.
If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and show that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. But you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. If anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he is a liar. For if he doesn't love his brother, who is right there in front of him, how can he love God, whom he has never seen? And God has said that one must love not only God, but his brother too.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I think that in the times that we're living in now, like you were talking about the dissidents and the Gnostics, where you have people that don't understand. They don't understand how you can be so taken up, as they say, with somebody that's invisible. How you can be so taken up with, as they say, with a myth. But once they come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, once you've had that experience, that born again experience, it's there, and the enemy can't hide it from you anymore. I think that what you were talking about, we spoke of darkness, and some people are in darkness and don't even realize that they're in darkness. But we didn't realize it either until we came into the light of Christ. We didn't realize with some of the things that we did or said or things that we believed how much we were in error until, like they said, somebody turned the light on.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ, the salvation that's in Christ was illuminated. The freedom and liberty that you have in Christ is illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still supposed to love those and pray for those who are in darkness and those who believe that they can do so many, that there's work that they can do for their sins or for their transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
We're still supposed to love them until they come into the fold.
Amen.
Until they come in.
Amen.
And they're not going to understand. No matter how much you holler, the only way that they're going to understand and the best way we can minister to them is by being honest, by having a Christ-like attitude, by carrying ourselves in a Christ-like way. And like the word says, to love, because God is love.
Amen.
Because God is love. And we have to show that. We have to show that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Any more comments? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we move on, I'd like to identify that the term Savior is from the Greek term, and this is used throughout the Old Testament. To translate the Hebrew term, it's translated into Moshiach. And Moshiach is the one who delivers or brings this salvation. So let me say that again. The term Savior is from the Greek term used throughout the Old Testament. To translate the Hebrew term, to translate it means Moshiach, and it means the one who delivers or brings this salvation. So it was therefore the early Christian community that would associate Jesus with salvation. And they looked and regarded him as Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was understood not only as the Savior in the Johannine community. Johannine community, or John, the first John, he's talking about first John, the community, but also was the Savior for not only that community, but for the cosmos, or the whole world. And so in verse 14, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God is to understand the universal and the inclusive implications of this all-encompassing divine love. When I say all-encompassing, I'm talking about what this love that surrounds us, this love that surrounds us by the divine. So during that time, that's what that was their tradition. And if you did not believe that, then you were opposing. You were opposing if you did not believe that. You did not believe that Jesus was the Savior, because you were living by that tradition that killing or sacrificing animals was the atonement to cleanse you of sins.
Right, where those that were traditional Jews, the Pharisees, and then you had, like you were talking about, the Gnostics, who believed that you could do anything in your flesh because your flesh didn't matter, it's the spirit. So you could do all sorts of gross things and do anything with the body and think anyway, but it was the spirit, and they thought that they were above anyone, that they were spiritually higher than other people. They believed in mysticism and cosmos and stuff, kind of like our New Age stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed that they knew a bit more, and that's what the enemy does. That's what the enemy does when he has you in darkness and that kind of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that's the spirit of religiosity, where you get so haughty and that you think you're better than other people, that you know more, that you have a key to knowledge, as if somebody, you're the only one that knows the right answer, and you're so wise.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gnostics were like that. So they couldn't understand what you mean. All you have to do is have Jesus Christ in your heart. All you have to do is accept Christ. Well, that certainly isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that anybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have the knowledge of the cosmos. You can't make this happen. You can't make that. So they were a different type, and we have that today. We have the same. This word is a word that is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
The word is timeless. Here it is, 2017, and you have the exact same thing, different name, like they say, different clown, but the same circus.
Mm.
It's the same circus.
Amen. 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 So thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that God loved us first. Amen. Thank God for the Savior. As we move on into 4:17 through 19, 1 John 4:17 through 19, as we come to a close, but this is the boldest claim of living in God's presence. perfect love. Now, let me say it again. This is the boldest claim in living God's perfect love. The boldest claim. What is that? That we need not have fear of the day of judgment.
That's right.
Let me say that again. We need not have fear of a day of judgment.
That's right. That's right. Jesus Christ died and rose again.
Amen.
And rose again. So all of us here, and that's man's greatest fear. That's man's greatest fear is death and the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Jesus Christ. So when we lose a loved one that's in Christ, we mourn. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we don't miss him. Doesn't mean we don't cry or grieve. We mourn, but we don't mourn like those who are not in Christ. Because we have the hope of being reunited with that person. We have the hope of being reunited with Christ and to be part of the kingdom. So it's not the same. It's not the same. Death has no hold on you. Death has no boundary if you're in Christ.
Amen.
If you're in Christ.
Amen. Amen. There is a popularization, and it's called the Inferno. It's called the Inferno, and it's during the 14th century. And the writer, his name is Dante Alighieri. And in that, he talked in his artwork of medieval churches and cathedrals was sure to scare heaven into people.
Absolutely.
Just as Jesus' sacrifice and death completes God's love, so in some sense, our love completes that same love. And indeed, it gives the expression to, when we show that love, it gives the expression to the very nature of God. It gives the very nature of God. Amen? Now, to live in love means that we are to live fearlessly and unafraid of the divine wrath. That's for you and that's for me. That we are to live. And through living, the love means that we are to live fearlessly and unafraid of the divine wrath. Amen? Love is put to the test. Love is put to the test. Do you live in fear? Do you live in fear? Are you afraid of anything? That's just a question. Are you afraid of anything? To say you live fearlessly, if you live fearlessly, that means that you are afraid of the wrath. And the wrath is, that's when God says, I'm just going to destroy it all. That means that you are afraid of the power of the divine. Now, if you can live in fear, if you can live fearlessly, unafraid of the wrath because of that love that's in you, then what else can be greater than that? What else can be greater than that? And that's why we go back to the topic or the title, Courage and Confidence in Our Daily Struggle. struggles.
Courage
and confidence in our daily struggles. If you and I, because God first loved us and he sent his son for you and I, that love means that God does not want us to live in fear. He does not want you to live in fear.
Amen.
He doesn't want me to live in fear. He wants us to live in love. And when we live in love, we are showing it, or we are giving an expression of the divine, which is God. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You may be the arm. I may be the leg. Dr. Suzanne may be the feet. We all are the body of Christ. And put together, we are whole in the divine. One cannot do or operate without the other. We have to love what the feet does. The feet have to love what the arms do. The arms have to love what the legs do. Each part has to love its function in the body. So as long as we stay in our lane, as long as we abide in the divine, abide in Christ, and he abides in us, we exemplify love one for another. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Any comments?
Amen. Amen.
It's kind of quiet. It's kind of quiet.
It's quiet, but you know what? It's a timely, word, and it's something for us to remember, especially with the political climate the way it is. Right now, where people are kind of really about speaking up or speaking out, trying to be politically correct, trying not to offend, hiding their light under a bushel, you know, not showing that you're that they're a Christian, not speaking up or even defending people and ideals. So I think it's a timely word. We have to love them. We have to understand that why there is darkness and continue to pray. Pray for this world. Pray for your brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We want to take them with us to the kingdom. We want them to be part of the kingdom. No one should go without hearing the word. No one should go without someone reaching out to them.
Amen.
Just share your light.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In closing, we're going to open up for any remarks, any comments. In closing. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for tuning in this evening. For those of you that tuned in by internet, you do have an opportunity to call in and participate in the discussion. And as I remind you, the number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4052. And you will be connected to Blog Talk Radio. Once again, we are new beginnings. And keep in mind, remember that every day is a new beginning. We love you, but God loves you most. Amen. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Amen. Be encouraged. And always remember. Always remember. Alone again.
I face the dawn.